Thursday, what is this? April 11th is supposed to be day one of the Bassmaster Elite Series event at the Harris Chain of Lakes, but instead all of our Elite Series pros are on land because of a huge storm that came through, high winds and more. And I've got my guy Brandon Cobb joining me. Brandon, appreciate you taking a couple minutes out of your second off day this week to talk about what changes and the strategy that you guys are going to have to implore, because it's not been easy this week. And now you haven't been on the water since Tuesday evening was your last day of making a cast at the Harris Chain.
Yeah, so the off day, it makes a really big difference. You know, certain times of year, like the Classic makes a big difference, obviously, because it's like pre-spawn warming, stuff like that. But truthfully, like, we're getting close to, I'm not going to say summer, but we're like getting to that spring-summer transition in Florida. So it's not, I don't feel like the fishing will change a ton with the off day, or even two, or even three or four this time of year. It's kind of, the fish are, you know, they're essentially done spawning. I mean, there might be, there's a few here and there, but essentially they're done. So it doesn't, they don't move as fast now because they're kind of getting locked into, you know, that early summer, late spring period anyway. So yeah. It's definitely not as significant as it would be in, say, the Classic pre-spawn. But and to be honest, I don't think I'm in the only one in this boat, but the fishing's been pretty poor. And I don't think any of us really care about, you know, a little change from practice, because it just flat out hadn't been that good. The fishing's not that good. So I'm not disappointed in missing a day and hope and like, oh man, my fish are gone, because I don't really know where that many are, to be honest. So I don't mind the two off days.
And that's the big thing that I was thinking about, was it has been tough and this could shake things up, but also there's a lot of different aspects that can shake it up. There's 8 lakes to choose from at the Harris Chain. You have 2 lakes you can lock into, and you've got 3 or 4 different idle zones. So time is of the essence. You can spend 8 hours in Harris, or you can lose some time if you go elsewhere. You've got one lock that holds 3 boats and it takes 30 to 40 minutes to get through right now. And one that holds about 10 or so, and it takes about 15 minutes. So, what are the things going on? We've heard that possibly, you know, obviously post spawn means a possible shad spawn's going on. But given if your game plan's another lake, you're running during that time. So have you built in a game plan to try to capitalize on that, or have you found that? And then also, are you living on the bank, or have you seen a lot of guys trying to fish offshore? How's the grass growing? All those different factors for you guys this week.
Yeah, so number one, the grass is almost non-existent. I mean, there's a tiny bit here and there, but the water, because of the lack of grass, is really, really dirty. Harris Chain is always, compared to Florida, it's a dirty lake. It's always has been. I mean, I've been here, you know, starting 10 years ago, I had been a few times. I've been every couple of years since, and it's just dirty. It just doesn't look like your typical Florida water. But with the grass, it usually still fishes pretty well. And there's definitely trying to be a little bit of a shad spawn, but I mean, I haven't been here in quite a while, but it just doesn't seem like there's a ton of shad. Like, they're trying to spawn, but there's not that, it doesn't seem like that much forage. It's kind of hard to find. And what a lot of people that, like me growing up around, you know, home shad spawn fishing, a lot of people in other parts of the country, shad spawn's pretty specific because shad only spawn on certain things. When you talk about Florida, shad spawn on, you know, trees, grass, like, there's certain things they like to spawn on. Well, when you're talking like Harris Chain, they can spawn anywhere. They can go to the bank and spawn in the entire lake. So it's not as specific of a shad spawn as it would be on, say, Lake Hartmore or Lake Murray or something like that. It's just kind of a shad spawn in general. And definitely I've been doing better in the mornings, and I haven't seen a ton of shad, but it feels like a shad spawn type thing. And as far as like the different lakes is, I never took the gamble in practice to go to a Popco, which is the one that's the longest lock or smallest lock and the longest time lock, because I was a little hesitant with the fishing being so poor that I think a lot of people try to go and the fishing might be better, but they won't get very long. And with that being said, I kind of just spent my time on the more easier to access lakes. And I didn't really see a difference in any of them, to be honest. I'm sure by the time it comes top 10 day, hopefully I'm in there, but there's probably one lake that's going to be playing more so. But I mean, I fished Harris, Eustis, Dora, a little bit in Griffin, and I mean, to be honest, they all kind of seem about the same. I feel like what this place is lacking right now is I think you'll see some big bags. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see an upper 20s, close to 30-pound bag. But it seems like a lot of those 2 to 5-pound fish are, like, non-existent. A lot of fish under 2 pounds, and you get a couple bites, or I did throughout practice, that were over 5 pounds. But that mid-range, which, you know, normally Florida fishing, to have that 20-pound bag, you're like, well, I had a 7-pound bite, and I filled my limit, you would, you know, 2.5, 2.75. Well, it doesn't seem like that. It seems more like you get a 7-pound bite, but then the rest of your limit consists of 1.4s, 1.5s, and you're just not many of that mid-range fish. So I think you'll see a big bag where somebody just gets 5 big bites, or you might see a 21-pound bag with, you know, 2 7-pounders and little babies. And that's, I kind of felt every lake seemed the exact same. And I mean, I may have not ran into, definitely never found any groups of fish whatsoever. And I think you were asking about like an offshore bite starting, is I think there should be. I haven't really found it yet, but I think that could contribute a lot to the lack of grass, number one, because that always helps the offshore bite, is grass, but also the dirty water. The water's dirtier than normal, and I kind of feel like it's scattered a lot of the fish. They kind of just stayed on the bank, and are, you know, some of them, the most predominant cover right now on the entire system is without a doubt Kissimmee grass, which grows near the bank. And it just seems kind of like they're scattered around the Kissimmee grass, scattered up in some pads. It's just a lot of scattered fish, and you can catch a big one here and there, but you just kind of catch little small ones to go with them, is the way my practice is going. I think I've caught one bass this week that was in that between 2 and 5 pounds. Caught a couple over 5 pounds and a lot under 2 pounds, but I think I've caught one individual fish between 2 and 5 pounds, which is what usually makes the limits, you know, what makes a lot of those 12 to 14 pound limits. And it just doesn't seem like there's hardly that many left in that range.
Yeah. I think if you look up in Webster's,
so it's definitely challenging.
The Florida limit would be a 13 to 14 pound bag with a 6 to 7 pounder, and everyone else was just a small one. That's the Florida limit we come to know. And for folks at home who do not know the situation, Apopka is that farthest lake to the southeast on the Harris Chain. It was once considered the most polluted and deadest lake in the state of Florida, but after a little while of cleaning up the lake, letting it just be, grass grew, cleared it up some, and then it became an X factor. A lot more people started going, and that is why the lock has become an issue, because the lock is so small, only 3 boats in it, and because there's been so much sediment around the base of the doors, they've had to do some cleaning to try to get those doors less pressure on them. I believe a new lock is going to be in the process soon of being able to get a bigger lock, but that's the big thing, is if it's 35 to 40 minutes for 3 boats, and you pull up in your boat 20, like Brandon's saying, if a lot of people go, your boat 20, and you're not really going to be able to pass people in canals and things like that. So if they're going where you're going, you're following them the whole way. If you're boat 12 and you're the fourth lock cycle, that is an hour and a half in.
Mathematically, it doesn't work.
Yes, you are hedging your bets on maybe 3 hours of fishing tops. And so that makes sense on staying closer. So with it being low light, heavier winds, thunderstorms today, obviously we never think thunderstorms are good for sight fishing, but oftentimes the storms and wind are good for pattern fishing or just fishing down the bank. Do you think that a shallower game will get better? Do you think it's going to move some fish activity? Do you think those windblown banks from today, if you're registering those in your mind, will play in the morning, you know, things like that?
Yeah, so I think that's the wild card. You're mentioning the off day is like these storms and rain we just had. I think a lot of what's contributing to kind of the poor fishing is poor water quality, and that's due to lack of grass. And this rain should help that. It should, you know, boost the oxygen up a little bit between the wind and rain. I think so. That's something I don't know. Somebody that's a lot more familiar with this Florida type water might know. It's something that I think might change something as far as it could be a little bit better, could be worse. I don't know. But I think the biggest wild card is the wind. Wind in Florida doesn't necessarily help like wind in other places. And the wind essentially ripped half of every single lake today. I mean, it was blowing 40 miles per hour at one point. So I think the question is that side got beat up today. Would have been almost impossible fish. It got probably a little bit dirtier even from shaking around what sediment is in the water. And the question is, will that settle out tomorrow and that side will be fishable? and as good as the other, or is those windblown, what was windblown banks today, are they going to be better, worse? I think that's what you're going to kind of have to refigure out tomorrow, because a lot of the stuff I was fishing was actually on the windy side of a couple different lakes. And I don't know, not that there's necessarily groups of fish, but like I could catch singles here and there, and you get so few bites, it'll take a little time to figure out, because it's not like I can pull up on a spot that was on the windy bank and be like, okay, I caught 10 here in practice, now I didn't get a bite, so nope, the wind hurt this side. Or, you know, I caught 20 today, so the wind helped this side. Because it's more or less the way I've been fishing, at least, I get, you know, a bite, then 30 minutes later a bite, or an hour later a bite. It's kind of the way it's been, and it's going to take a little while to figure out if the wind hurt, helped, or was indifferent on the one side of the lake. Because I imagine there was three footers on one side of a lot of the lakes today. And when it's, you know, 3 foot deep, sometimes that's not very good. So we'll see if it stables back out by tomorrow.
What's funny is if we probably put a ping on every single angler's house that they're staying at this week, y'all are all probably, there's people probably staying on every single lake. And so if you all just had a big meeting and said, what did the lake look like? You know, you would get a good picture of what everything, you're hoping Andy Crawford took photos of your area, so you saw like where the wind was blowing. But it seems like it is one of those fishing type tournaments. But the big question is, especially this day and age, and you've posted some videos on YouTube and social media about your thoughts on forward facing sonar. You had your best elite season last year and you utilized it, but you really didn't in a lot of events and were successful. So is this our first fishing tournament this week where you we're not going to see it dominate as much, because if there's not much offshore grass, where are these fish sitting at other than shell places, you know?
Yeah, so I've used it some this week. Like, it's not, I'm competent with it, but it's not my go-to. So I have played with it, dabbled here and there, because the way this season's been going, it's kind of every tournament's been just basically dominated with it. So it's not something you want to miss if it is a factor. And from what I saw this week, there will be a lot of fish caught using it, but there'll be a lot of fish caught fishing as well. So with that being said, I think the weights are going to be pretty small. So that's what I was kind of telling me and Shane, kind of bounce ideas off each other in practice. And he's like, I think they're going to catch them, you know, using front facing sonar again. I'm like, yes, they probably will. But, you know, 8 to 12 pounds weighs 8 to 12 pounds, whether you caught it swimming a jig or you caught it on minnow offshore. So it, to me, in my opinion, it kind of seems like you could catch a good bag doing either. And I think this is kind of the first one we've had this year that you probably can compete just straight up shallow, but I think you probably will have to mix it in somewhat, because it gets pretty tough. But like, at least in what I've seen, there's periods of the day where they just don't seem like they're biting good. I think the key will be, you know, fishing when they're biting fishing, and then when you're not able to catch some fish, go do that, or maybe figure out a way to get bit when it does get a little tougher later in the day and things like that. So I think you'll see it play. Will it be dominated? Yes, I think you'll see some of the bigger bags probably come with it, but I think it's just as inconsistent as, you know, the shallower grass, like the Kissimmee grass fishing, or up real shallow where you're not using it so much. I think it's just all kind of inconsistent. All the fish are about the same size no matter what you're doing.
Because there isn't a huge concentration of grass in one spot that necessarily you have found this week, do you think that there will be an area, let's just call it 3 to 5 miles, where we see a large group of anglers like we did in 2022 here? Obviously that was grass related. It was protected. It was the one place that I guess boats didn't have to spray, or weather didn't affect it, however that works. But is there going to be one offshore spot, or this is the hard cover bank that a lot of people are going to start on? Like, are we going to see a lot of guys near each other at some point this week?
Yeah, I think you are going to see people in areas to an extent. And I'm going to have to say, I don't think I know what area that's going to be yet. But I think by the time the week plays out, you're going to see a heavy portion of the checks and top 10 in a specific lake. I don't think you're going to see like necessarily a specific spot, not like last time it was all one cove essentially. And I don't think you're going to see that, but I think you will see, you know, 6 of the top 10, 8 of the top 10, essentially in one lake by the end of the week. But I mean, like I said, in my practice, they all seemed about the same. But I'm sure once, you know, we actually start really pressuring fish, like trying to catch them more so than just trying to see where you can get bites, you're going to realize, like, whether, because I'm going to bounce around a little tomorrow and probably fish two or three lakes for a little portion of peace because I have a long day. And I think you'll start realizing when you're really trying to put fish in the live well, not just get a bite here and there, you're going to start realizing, oh, you know what? I think this lake is a little bit better. And then by the end of the week, you're going to see, you know, 30 to 50 checks and probably a 2/3 of the top 10 all in one lake.
I'm not going to say it's luck because you guys put in a lot of different decisions to catch a big one or know how to high percentage put yourself in an opportunity to catch a big one. But it does seem like that forward facing is neutralized this week where you could catch a 7-pounder going down the bank just as easy as you could finding one offshore that's willing to bite. It is different targeting these fish offshore. So we will see how it plays out. Maybe we'll see some canals. Maybe we'll see some lakes factor locking. That'll be a big storyline as well. It just seems like whether you're on a shad spawn or not, this seems like a buzz bait, Brandon Cobb, lock it in your hand and go for 10 miles and then turn around at a certain point or pick up your trolling motor and go somewhere and do the same thing. So we'll see if that equates to 8 to 10 pounds or 18 to 20 pounds this week. Maybe 28 to 30. Who knows? If it depends. It'll be hard for you to put it down the rest of the days if you catch 28 to 30 one day on it.
Yeah, it definitely does seem like that type of week. The one thing that has me hesitant with that type just running down the bank fishing is, you know, it's Florida. You always end up in one area, and that's where you catch all your fish. And the times I've tried to just, you know, cover a lot of water in Florida has been an epic fail. But I do feel like this one lays out a little different just because they are so scattered and the fishing's a little, well, a lot tougher than it usually is down here. So I probably am going to do a lot of the strategy, like you said, of running down the bank with a buzz bait and moving baits and see what happens. But it's kind of bit me in the past in Florida. So it's hard to fully commit to it knowing the history here. But I think we're looking at a different animal than we've ever dealt with in Florida.
Well, I think you said it at Okeechobee last year. Every time you pull up your troll motor in Florida, you drop 10 spots in the standings. So just take off from Venetian and just troll all day. Just 4 hours one way, 4 hours back, and you never pick it up. You'll be in the top 10.
That's very likely, and that might not be my exact strategy, but you might have just put it down a little bit.
Awesome. Well, hey, Brandon, appreciate you taking part of your second off day. I figured you guys were going to the bingo club or eating like your third pizza of the day just to kill some time. But don't re-rig any rods. Just be good with what you got, and we will see how this week plays out.
Yep, we're going to find something to do the rest of the day and excited to get after tomorrow, see what happens.
Awesome. Brandon Cobb, Elite Series champion. And a perennial favorite in AOI every year. Brandon, thank you for joining us and appreciate you giving the insight to the fans.